96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking all things Prince George's County tonight with County Executive Rashern Baker. Of course, he is answering our questions and yours. If you have a question or if you have a comment for County Executive Rashern Baker, now is the time to give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Mr. Baker, thanks for coming, and I appreciate it.
Harold, always good to be here with you.
Great. I've got a lot of questions for you, so let me get right to it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the housing voucher situation for low-income Prince George's County residents. Explain very briefly how this works, because there's been some media reports that the way that the county is carrying out this process doesn't at least appear to be as convenient for those who are struggling financially.
No, I mean, the process is going to work. It's a new process, and we're just now opening up the voucher program since it was, I believe, since 2008. HUD and the county, they go through this period where they vet out the applications, then they open it up when they have new vouchers. We've got about 450 spots or thereabouts. So the new process for Prince George's County and for other jurisdictions is to do this online. And so we've sent out notices to individuals. We work with community groups to get the word out. We work with the libraries throughout the county. And so people are applying. As of this morning, we've had 9,000 people apply online for these spots. And so this is the new process that everyone's using. It certainly has gotten the word out, and we're getting the number of applicants for this.
But this is the reason why I ask, because here, even at WHUR, there are times when we get phone calls from people that are asking for information, and they'll call me, and I'll say, well, it's online. It's on WHUR.com. And they will say, I don't have access to the internet. And these are not necessarily seniors, but these, again, are people who may be having difficulty with their finances, maybe for a long period of time. And we are talking about low-income housing, a process that's designed to help them. So if they don't have access to the internet, if they don't have access to any of the spots that where you can get help, don't you think that this process should be expanded somewhat?
Well, it actually is expanded. Remember that this has gone from having folks come into the housing office to actually having them coming out to places throughout the communities. And that's why we had a number of community groups that we work with. That's why we work with you can actually call in. There are a number of our language line that so if people who are speaking English as a second language. So if you look in totality, it's actually more access for the people to apply. That's why we've seen the numbers so high this morning.
Okay. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Let's go to Ralph on line two. Ralph, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. Hello to everybody.
Sure. Go right ahead, Ralph.
My question is about the vacant houses in Prince George's County. There was an attempt to raise property taxes on the homeowners. Is there any program to get some of these empty houses out of these communities? And these are not all rundown communities. Because we have houses in our community that's been empty since George Bush first term.
Oh, yeah. There is. I mean, we've tried. First of all, thanks for your question. And we have tried to make sure we get those houses off of the vacant property list, and that is we're working through two ways. One is when they're foreclosed, a lot of times they belong to the banks. And so our Department of Housing has been working with the state and the federal government to, one, to get the banks to actually resell them quicker. The other thing we've tried to do, and we put some money to, not as much as we'd like to, and that is to actually offer assistance to our first-time home buyers so they can go in and buy some of these properties. And then, you know, the other thing is to really stay on the owners of them to make sure, one, they maintain well, and that we can get them assistance they need if they need to refinance it so that they can actually move back into the houses or to sell them. But there's very little that we as a government can do with private property other than to make sure that they are kept according to the laws.
Is there a department that he could possibly reach out to in the county?
Yeah, our Department of Housing and Community Development is where you would look, and we have various programs.
Okay. You got that, Ralph? Department of Housing and Community Development?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We are talking to the county executive for Prince George's County, Maryland, Rushearn Baker. Let me go back to the phone lines. Terry calling from Laurel. Terry, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening to...
good evening. Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
LaShawn Baker and also the family at WHUR. I am currently a recipient of the Home Choice Section 8 voucher program.
Yes.
And the program has helped me tremendously up into a year ago.
Okay.
As of a year ago, I am a single mother with one child. I have been on the program since that child was 12 years of age, and I was not notified until my recertification date occurred that I was no longer qualified for the unit that I was living in.
Okay.
I lived in a two-bedroom and a den unit. I have worked ever since I've been on the program, but I was not notified until 30 days of my lease being up that I no longer qualify for that unit because of the changes that had been made through the county and the program itself. There was no mail sent to me. All of this was communicated on the date that I was to...
Well, Terry, let me ask you. So, what are you being told to do now? Do you have to vacate?
I had to move out of that unit because I could no longer afford to stay there.
Okay.
Right. Why don't we do this, Terry? If there's a way, Harold, that I could get her information offline, because I don't want to do that on the air. But I will assure you, we'll look into what the issue is. That way, Terry, if it's okay with you, if you give us the information, we will get back to you in my office and figure out what's going on.
I'm sure the producer can look into getting her information, and we can have a follow-up with the county executive. Terry, thank you so much for giving us a call, and hopefully there can be some resolution to your issue. 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Mr. Baker, before I continue, while they're getting Terry's information, I wanted to ask you about this other issue that cropped up last week, although I suspect this has been going on at least since the spring, the issue of immunizations and the school system. As of today, the count is 1,588 students who either don't have their records, don't have their booster shots. Right. And last year, there was this huge media blitz. Suffice it to say, it was really effective because your folks wouldn't leave us alone. And I would imagine that there were a whole bunch of other of my colleagues in the business who heard so much. This year, not so much. Last week, there were nearly 3,000 students that didn't get their information. What's going on?
Right. As of this morning, I just had a meeting on this with our executive staff to figure out what's going on and where the breakdown occurred. There are about 1,800 students who have not been immunized for the school year that certainly we need to get to. I've asked our staff to work with the school system, figure out, first of all, how do we get these, make sure that we can get the students taken care of so that we don't have them missing school. And then once that process is going, and I actually talked to Dr. Maxwell and his staff and figure out exactly what the issue is and why we had so many this year. Clearly, that's an unacceptable number of students. It is something that we know we're going to have to deal with. I mean, even with the changes in the law, we knew that we were going to have to deal with these.
Well, your county health director, Dr. Angela Walkwea, said that she discovered the problem and that she's essentially been thrown under the bus about this. And now she's saying that folks are saying this is her fault. How do you respond to that?
Well, she's the health director for the school system.
She's the health director for the county, isn't she?
No, she is. That's mistaken part. This is a school issue. The school handles the immunization, and she is the health director for the school system. So she works for Dr. Maxwell. We've simply stepped in and said, listen, this is unacceptable. We want to find a way to help. That's a question, at least into her response. What they're doing over there is something that Dr. Maxwell will have to answer. What I've asked my staff to do, and I've asked Pam Kriegmer, our health officer, and our department, is to work with the school system to get this done as soon as possible.
How can this happen? I guess that's the question. Is this an issue of parents not knowing or claiming they don't know when notifications went out in the spring, or is this a matter of records not being handled? Is there a shortage of nurses in the county? What do you think the problem is?
I think what the problem is a combination of all of the above. Certainly the notices have gone out to parents, and for whatever reasons, they did not have the schools, the child immunized before the school year. And certainly, there's a plan of action that was put in place by the school system that, for whatever reason, did not work. But here's what I said to the staff in the meeting this morning. Whatever it is, we know that there are, for whatever reason, we have children who are unaccompanied minors that are in the county. We have children, for whatever reason, the information did not get back to their parents. But we know this. This is not the first time we've had to deal with this type of issue. We should be prepared for that. We should be prepared as a county. And so my job as county executive is to, one, work with the school system, Dr. Maxwell, and two, make sure that we have a plan of action that we get these kids their shots as soon as possible so they miss the least amount of time from our school system, because it is a health issue, and that we put in place so this doesn't happen again.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Keona calling from Forestville. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Keona?
Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
I have a quick question. In regards to the overpopulation of schools in PG County, there are a number of schools in the county that are currently closed, but they're still have lights and everything on, so someone's paying for something, even though the schools are not being used. Is there something that's coming in the works to help with the overpopulation of all of the schools? Thank you
very much. There really is. We have an issue in our county with some of our schools, like Bowie High School, which is the largest high school in the state of Maryland, that are overpopulated. We have schools like Forestville High School, which are underpopulated. So what we're going to have to do is to look at where we need to do some changes. There are some schools we are going to have to take a hard look at closing because they have under enrollment. And there are other schools we're going to have to make sure that we're making sure that the kids are going to their boundary school. And I think, you know, Dr. Maxwell has put a plan in place with that, working with the school board. And so it's something we're going to work hard on. The last thing I should ask is we're going to, you know, when the upcoming session in Annapolis, one of the big pushes I'm going to make is for school construction dollars. There are places in the county where we really do need to look expanding. As I mentioned, Laurel area, inside our Beltway area, we're starting to see growth there. And so pushing the state, we tried it last year to do it a 2-to-1 match so that we could build and renovate some of our needy schools. We're going to go back and ask for that money again at the state level.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. That's 855-288-4876. If you are on the line, Tasha, Reggie, Delvin, Lisa, please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. I will get to your phone call. We need to take a break. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM. Channel 141, the original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on WHUR 96.3. Please, again, do not hang up. We will continue to take calls as we continue this conversation with Prince George's County's Executive Rushern Baker. Stay with us. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.